Welcome back to our campaign series called Daring Faith. Today we kick off week two in this series. I want to remind you the best way that you could get the most out of this campaign series is to do three things. One, make sure you continue to be part of each of our Sunday teachings. And like I said, this is week two, the second one of six. So far, so good. The second thing you want to do is make sure that you get into one of our small groups. At our small groups, we're going to dig deeper into the Sunday teaching, and we're going to be able to have a chance to ask questions and pray with and for each other in our small groups. Our small groups are all virtual right now, but we invite you to jump in on them. And the third thing you want to do is you want to do the daily devotionals. If you have the study guide, in the study guide are 40 days of devotionals, and today is day 8 of Daring Faith. And so if you didn't get a book, maybe and let us know. We have a few more available for you, and we'll let you be able to get your hands on one. And we want you to jump in, and if you've got the book and you're behind, just jump into day 8 or try to catch up, whatever is easiest for you. As you'll notice, the study guide is written by Pastor Rick Warren. So we want to thank Pastor Rick Warren for all of this material. And he has provided us the material with which we can tailor-make Daring Faith the best way we can for Highway. So that's what we're doing. So we want to thank him for the material. Just before we jump into this week's teaching, I want to remind you one thing from last week. It's the memory verse. Every week there's a different verse for us to learn and put into memory. Do you remember last week's memory verse? If you do, would you just go out and say it out loud what it is? Oh, sorry, I can't hear you, but I trust you did it. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Matthew 9:29. So that's the verse from last week. Later on, we'll talk about the verse for this, the second week. Now, faith is expecting the best. That's basically the title of today's teaching, expecting the best. Faith is expecting the best. It's not positive thinking or just, you know, optimism. It's not wishful thinking or things like that. That's not what it is. Faith is trusting God, even when times are difficult. Faith is trusting in God. Rick Warren puts it this way. He says, faith is the confident assurance that God is in control of the future and that he plans what is best for my life because he loves me. I want to share a story with you. You might know this story, but allow me to share it for you. A story of daring faith. The story opens up with two enemies, two armies that are fighting off against each other. They actually camp on each side of a valley. One army is camped on the hill to this side, and the other army is camped on the hill on that side. And there was a standoff between these armies. And one army would send a warrior down into the valley every day to challenge the other side and say, let's settle this, you know, one-on-one. You send a man to come and fight me, and I'll fight for my army. And whichever man wins, that army is considered victorious. Now, you may have already figured out the story I'm talking about. I'm talking about the story of David versus Goliath. Now, this challenge just didn't go on a little bit. This challenge had been going on for 40 days. And not only once a day, but actually twice a day, this warrior named Goliath would come out of the Philistine camp, and he'd stand there and he'd challenge the armies of Israel. And he'd do it twice a day, morning and evening. He'd say, come on, pick one man to fight me. Now, what you may or may not know about Goliath is he was considered a giant. He was a giant of a man. We're told that he stood over 9 feet tall, and he was probably thick and broad. And the Bible describes his armor and how heavy and how big it would have been. Goliath was a warrior. He was a man with a fighting history. He was probably one of the greatest champions of all time for the nation of the Philistines. And he would come out every day and challenge the armies of Israel to this winner-take-all duel. The Bible says that Israel had become dismayed and terrified. Isn't that a horrible place to be, where you're dismayed and terrified? This has been going on for 40 days. Everyone in the camp had lost confidence and they had given up hope. But as the story goes on, there's one young man who did not lose hope. His name, as you guessed it, is David. David stepped forward. Now, David was not a member of the army. In fact, David is probably just a teenage boy at this time. And he is sent by his father with, you know, we'll call a goodie box. He's sent with a care package. And so his father says to David, David, who is a shepherd at this time and taking care of the family's sheep, his father says, I want you to journey over to Israel's camp and go and check on your three older brothers and bring me back a report. Let me know how they are and let me know how things are going. And here's their care package. He actually sent food to them, and I'm sure they appreciated some home-cooked food. But so that's what David does. And as David is in the camp visiting his brothers and delivering his care package, he happens to be there at one of the times that Goliath comes out and challenges the army of Israel. And David was shocked. He was utterly surprised that no one would have enough daring faith to trust in Jehovah God of Israel to help them to overcome this giant Goliath. So, long story short, David ends up before King Saul because David is willing to go and fight the giant Goliath. And here are the words that David speaks to the king in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 and 37. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Now, you know the end of this story, that David would go out and face off against Goliath using a slingshot and a stone, and that Goliath would be killed and Israel would be victorious. That's the story in a nutshell. Now I want to dig a little bit deeper. There are three lessons that we can learn here from this story. And if you're following in your study guide, it's page 34. And the first one I want to show you is 1 Samuel 17, 46, and it says this. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." This is David speaking. "And I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." What an amazing declaration from young David. Notice what he says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." And so the first thing we look at, we see here, is when I expect the best, it honors God. See, David goes out, and although he knows he's fighting Goliath, he says, "This day the Lord will deliver you." David goes out in a way that honors God. He speaks in total faith. And David declares that he knows that God is for him and that God is with him. Now, let's be honest. If you were watching this from afar, you would have to say the odds are not in David's favor. If you're watching this from afar, you've got to think, as you watch these two men meet in the middle of the valley, that David doesn't have a chance. There is nothing about looking at this scene in the natural eye that says David is not about to really get it bad. I mean, Goliath is giant. He's got armor. He's got experience. David is just a shepherd boy with a slingshot and a stone. But David believes and trusts God. David steps out in faith, and that honors God. William Carey, the great missionary, once said this: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Let's look at our story in verse 40 now. It says this: then he, that's David, took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. And so the second thing we learn is here is when I expect the best, it increases my ability. It increases my ability. David went with the abilities that he knew. He went with the abilities that he was comfortable with, and he knew that God would help him. See, what we didn't read in this story is before David goes out and picks up his 5 stones and takes his slingshot, King Saul had tried to equip David as a normal warrior. They had put armor on David, a breastplate and a helmet, and they put a sword in his hand, and they, you know, said, try this out. And David couldn't move in that. He wasn't comfortable with that. It wasn't for him. It was just too much. It wasn't who he was. It wasn't anything that he was comfortable with. So David stuck to what he knew, his slingshot and his stones. David used what was in his ability, but he trusted God for the increase that God would bring. See, David knew that God would help him as he dared to step out in faith. I want you to remember this, that God made you to be you. You need to make sure that when you walk out your faith in God, you do it in the way that God made you, in the abilities that he has given you, in the way that he framed you and put you together. You do it the way God made you. Don't do it like somebody else would do it. Don't look at somebody else and say, well, they could do that way, then I'm going to do it their way. Don't copy somebody else. Be who God made you to be and trust God to increase what he has already provided in you. The third thing we're going to learn in the story, we find in verses 51 and 52, and it says this: when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. See, we're taught here that when I expect the best, it encourages others. See, David expected the best. He started off, the Lord will deliver you in my hands. He went out expecting the best. He was able to face Goliath. He was able to defeat Goliath. He was able to kill Goliath. And when David defeated Goliath, the army of Israel gave a shout of praise, a shout of victory, a shout of the war cry. And they ran into action and they pursued the Philistine army and subdued them. See, David's victory of Goliath brought encouragement to the army of Israel. This same army that just a short time earlier was dismayed and terrified was now rejoicing and victorious. Now, some of you may be facing giants of your own. Maybe you have a financial Goliath ahead of you. Maybe you're facing a medical condition or a medical issue. Maybe you've got a relational breakdown. Maybe you're just at a place where there's some big, huge issue in your life, and you feel like that issue is a Goliath before you. You look at it and you say, I don't stand a chance. But I want to encourage you today to have faith, to have daring faith. That when the odds look impossible, when the giants look too big or too strong, that you remember that God is with you. God will enable you. God stands for you. And God fights with you. No matter how big your giant might be, I want you to remember that your God is bigger still. These are the lessons we learn from David's battle with Goliath about how we can expect and how we need faith. But I also want you to know that as we look at David here, we have to understand there are some things from David's life that we could put into practice. What made David this man of faith? What made David, a teenage boy, be willing to go to battle against a giant? What was there happening underneath the current that nobody could see that was probably happening in David's life? Well, if we look to the Psalms, and many of the Psalms, much of the Psalms were written by David, some of them at the times when he was heartbroken and in low places of his life, and other times when his trust was fully and solidly on God. And the Psalms give us a glimpse of David's life. And I want to share with you four things that we learn from David's life that we see in the Psalms. The first one is found in Psalms chapter 5, verse 3. It says this: "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." So the first lesson we learn is we tune into God every morning. I would say every day. We tune into God every morning or every day. David says, every day I come before you, Lord. Every day I have an expectancy. He expects something to happen in his meeting with God. He expects that things are going to take place, that he is going to lift up his voice to God. And every day God is going to speak into his soul, into his spirit. Now, you might be listening and watching and say, well, you know, my mornings are so tight. Maybe you're not, you know, you have to be at work at 5 in the morning, or maybe you're not a morning person, and maybe mornings are difficult for you. But I'm gonna repeat what I heard another pastor say, and he said, if the mornings are hard because you can't get up, then just go to bed a little bit earlier. Help yourself. For some of you, it's not morning. Some of you, your best time is middle of the afternoon. Maybe that's when it's quiet for you, or in the evening when the whole house is quiet, whatever it is. But David's practice was to do it in the morning. And to those of you who can, I encourage you, start your day with God. Don't start your day on social media. Don't check in on the news. Leave those things alone, but get up and get ready and then go off and spend some time with God. If this is a brand new practice for you, if it's not something you've ever done, spending time with God every day, start simple. Just start simple. And the best thing you can do right now in this series called Daring Faith is do the devotionals that are in the study guide. They're designed to help you build this spiritual practice. And so you can just do that. And all you need is about 10 minutes, maybe 15, maybe less. Just take some time. It'll walk you through all the steps. And, you know, if you do this every day, for 40 days, you'll begin to build a spiritual practice, and you'll be able to build that momentum in your life where you can go and spend time with God every morning or every day. So tune into God. The second thing we need to do is think on God's promises throughout the day. So you start in the morning and then you think of it throughout the day. Psalm 119:95 says this: "Though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind upon your promises." See, at this point in David's life, when he's writing this, he's really running for his life. If you don't know the story, there was a time when King Saul, the king of Israel, wanted to kill David. He was jealous of David. David's fame was growing throughout Israel, and the king was jealous about it. And so he was trying to kill David, and David is running and hiding for his life. And he says, "Though the wicked hide me along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your promises." He decided that he was going to trust God's word, God's promises, even in the times when he was down. See, it's easy to let your problems discourage you. Instead, you need to keep your mind on what God has said and not what your circumstances say. Psalm 119:11 says it this way: I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart so I won't sin myself bankrupt. I have banked your promises in the vault of my heart. How do we do that? We do that by memorizing scripture. That's why we are taking a scripture a week to memorize. And we put it in the vault of our heart. We put it in a place where we could go to it and draw on it and pull from it. So when circumstances come, when discouragement comes, we look on the promises of God. Somebody counted, not me, but somebody said there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. That's a whole lot of promises. I'm not asking you to memorize them all, don't worry. But just know that God's promises are there. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. God, He always keeps His word." So if God has given you a promise, He will keep His word, because God always keeps His word. And that brings us to Romans 8:28. That's our memory verse for this week. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Romans 8:28. That's on page 33 of your study guide if you're looking for it. All things work for God, the good in our lives. God works the things. Not everything in our lives is good, but God works things for our good. Make sure you understand the difference there. So we tune into God and we think on God's promises. And the third thing we need to do is trust in God's love, even when things look bad. Trust in God's love. David finds his confidence in the love of God. That David is probably at one of the lowest points in his life when he writes Psalm 42:11. He says, "Oh my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be upset. Expect God to act, for I know that I shall again have plenty of reason to praise Him for all that He will do." David's circumstances in this part of his life, he's probably feeling low, he's feeling despair, he's probably in a dark place. And David knew that God was faithful. David knew that God had been faithful to him in his past, and he said, "I know that again He will be faithful to me in my future." See, you can trust God for your future. If you're going through a rough time right now, you need to remember what God has done for you in the past. That's why it's important that we remember. It's important that we remember how God has been faithful to us in the past, because that is the track record. So that we know if God was faithful, if you look in your past and you see God's faithfulness in your past, you know that when you look to the future, you can say, "God, you were faithful in the past. You'll be faithful in the future." You know that God is a God who keeps His promises. He kept them in the past. He'll keep them in the future. You know that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if He was faithful to you in the past, He's going to be faithful to you in the future. Now you might be watching and listening and saying, but you know, I'm new at this. I'm just beginning my journey with God. I don't really have a whole lot of track history. Number one, you do, because you're trusting God today. So you have a point just in the, maybe it wasn't that far back, but where you trusted God and he met you. But also, what you can do is you can pick up your Bible and you take the Bible and you can begin to read the different stories of faith that are in there. Last week, we talked about Hebrews 11 and the roll call of faith, the men and women of faith. Go back and look at that list and look at each of those lives. Take some time to understand who they were and understand that they all had a track record with God. And God was faithful to them. He will be faithful to you, because God doesn't change. He's the same, like I said, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can trust God's love for you. You can trust God's love, that even when you don't understand, He loves you and cares about you. And the last thing we're going to look at today is talk, hang out, talk with other believers. I like the word hang out. It's spend time with them. You see, you need to associate with other people who have daring faith. You'll become like the people that you hang out with. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. Now, those of us who are parents of one time or another probably use that verse on our teenage children. You know, bad company corrupts good character. But it's not just a verse for teenagers. It's a verse for every one of us. That it matters who we talk to. It matters who we hang out with. See, what kind of people do you associate with? See, if you want to be a person of faith, hang out with people who are people of faith. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, hang out with other believers who are growing in their relationship with God. If you want to live for Jesus, hang out with other people who are living their lives for Jesus. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. See, we are called to encourage one another, to do it together. And one of the ways that we at Highway provide an avenue for you to hang out, to talk and be and do life with other people is in our small groups. That's why they exist. They're there to help you connect and grow. To connect and grow with God, and to connect and grow with other people around you. And so small groups are a great place for you to jump in and do life and learn and be encouraged. In our small groups, especially during this Daring Faith campaign series, we are digging deeper into this Sunday teaching. We are asking questions. We are encouraging each other, and we're taking time to pray for each other, for their needs or for whatever they might be facing. Our small groups are a safe place for you to grow with God. And so I encourage you, and you've probably heard me say this many times, if you've never been in a small group, go ahead and test drive one. And this is one of the best opportunities to do that in. So there's still 5 small groups left if you haven't jumped in, and you can do that now. And just reach out to us. Would you text us? Just text us. I'm looking for a group, and make sure we have your name so we know who we're talking to. Text it to our church number, 416-267-1189, 416-267-1189, and we'll be in touch with you and do that today. Do it even right now while I'm talking. That's okay. Just reach out to us. One more verse I want to leave you with. It's Hebrews 10:24. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So let's spur each other on. This week, as we go to our small groups, this week, as you go on with your week, would you spur, would you encourage each other that together we could live a daring faith for God? So I want to remind you, what are the 4 things that we need to do? We need to tune into God every morning, every day. We need to think on God's promises. We need to trust in God's love, and we need to talk or hang out with other believers. Now, maybe you've been watching and listening and you're saying, this is what I really want. This is what I need. I need faith in my life. I need to know God. Maybe you're watching and you don't have a relationship with God, that you've felt that God is just big and far away and not caring about you. But you understand today that God loves you and cares for you. Well, we want to help you as you begin on a journey of relationship with God. All you need to do is something simple in your heart first. Believe that Jesus is who he said he is. Accept that he died for your sins, and then confess that you need the forgiveness of your sins and you need Jesus in your life. And if you want to do that, we want to help you. And we ask you if you'd pick up your phone and just text us one word. Text the word love. It's love because God loves you. Text the word love to 416-267-1189. Please follow the prompts and we will be in touch with you, and we will help you as you begin this spiritual journey with the living God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today that we can learn from the life of David, that David had daring faith to face the giant Goliath, and you brought victory. That we see through David's life experiences, he laid out a pattern for us to follow, and you encourage us to follow it this way. So, Lord, thank you for these lessons. Thank you for this story. Thank you for your love, that you have never given up on us and you never stop reaching out to us. We give you all the glory and honor. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us at Highway Online today. We're so glad that you are here with us. And go ahead and invite somebody to join you next week. And you can join us here online, or if you live locally, we encourage you to join us at the Highway Building. It's in Scarborough, and you're more than welcome to join us there. All you have to do is reserve your seat because of the pandemic protocols. We have to space people out, so we have limited seating, but we keep the safety protocols in place here at the Highway Building so that you could be safe when you're with us. So you're welcome to join us. We look forward to having you again with us next week, either in person in the Highway Building or right here online. In the meantime, have a great week, be blessed, and stay safe.